We were out in the middle of the Caribbean Sea. We had just pulled out from Costa Maya, Mexico. And we had been running from Tropical Storm Gamma the entire week. We missed going to Jamaica because the storm was already there ahead of us. So we diverted to Grand Cayman a day early and arrived, and the skies were cloudy and overcast, and it was getting ready to rain all day long. It was just icky and sticky and wet like the Caribbean can be, Rose. You know what that's like. And then we left Grand Cayman, and I understand the storm hit them just a couple hours after we pulled out of the harbor. And we crossed the Caribbean to Mexico, arriving in Costa Maya. The storm clouds behind us, but it was pretty on the mainland, and we had a nice day in Costa Maya, and as we were pulling out, the storms were just beginning to arrive in the port. And we made our way out north across the Caribbean, kind of parallel to Cuba, heading kind of towards the Gulf of Mexico, the captain angling his course to try to keep the waves from causing the ship to do this. Eating soup while doing that's really fun, let me tell you. Anyway, I'm going to tell you, I've been in some big storms in the North Atlantic. Nothing like this one. This puppy had the ship we were on, the Westerdam, slamming. Now, if Navy folk, you know what this is. The ship is in a big swell and big heavy waves, high seas, and we come up the top of the swell, and there's nothing below the ship but air, and the ship goes down like a roller coaster and slams, whoosh, and the water washes over the bow and comes up to about the bridge and then goes away, and the ship pulls out again and does it again. Wham, 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 wham. And we're trying to have dinner. We're trying to dance. Now, I was chaplain the first week and had a wonderful time. Beautiful blue skies. The seas were like glass. It was just gorgeous. You saw pictures of me with the wind in my hair. It was lovely. Anyway, second week I wasn't supposed to be chaplain. Second day out, unfortunately, we started having the Norwalk virus, which is the gastrointestinal virus, you know, that hits especially people in nursing homes and schools and cruise ships for some reason. And while you're not going to die, you wish you would. And your best friend becomes your toilet. And they lock you in your cabin and you cannot come out if you have it. So we had about a third of the ship sick, including the Roman Catholic chaplain. And then we hit high seas, and the Protestant chaplain was sick. So guess who the cruise director comes to ask to do services for the whole ship? So here I am trying to do Holy Communion at sea while the ship is slamming, whoosh, and rocking. Now, you know what? I don't mind direction in one motion in one direction. Fore and aft is okay. Side to side is okay. But this corkscrew motion is for the birds. If it were not for drugs, I would have been a pasty little cream on the floor, the deck plate of my cabin. It was awful. Oh, but we had fun. Trying to put your fork in the chicken as it slid across the plate. Stop. Watching as the Indonesian service staff, who they have cast iron stomachs, friends, they're green, walking around going, uh-huh. Seeing a dining room that normally holds, about 850 people with only 200 in it, and there's only one sitting for dinner now because they don't have enough for two. Wow. Normally I'd be, worshiping the porcelain god too, but no, I'm on drugs, scopace, some other seasickness drugs. So, I'm feeling no nausea. I'm doing fun. A little old lady comes up to me. She reminded me of you, Blanche. And she comes up to me and she says, Reverend, you want to dance? You try dancing with some as the ship's going all over the place. And she was good. She was really well practiced in it. Anyway, I'm going to tell you, sitting up there as we were slamming, watching the water go over the bow, I was up in what's called the crow's nest, which is the upper observation lounge, hanging on, white-knuckled almost, watching, whoosh, every time, whoosh. And every time, what kept running through my head was that phrase, God is good. And all the time. That was running through my head. I thanked God for the engineers who designed the ship. They did a good job. It's been through many such storms. And I thanked God who created the wind and the sea so that we could see His majesty. We could see His amazing power and strength. And how the greatest ships of humankind going through the sea, it's like nothing compared to the strength that you see in God's nature, God's handiwork. How someone can look at this world, look at this nature, look at the weather, look at the beauty of this creation, look at the stars up above, the seas and the land, especially the land, which is very good. How can someone look at all these things and think that it just happened? It didn't just happen, friends. God made it. I am more convinced than ever. And I was pretty well convinced before that God is a good, wonderful, powerful, gracious, majestic God who has created a beautiful, wonderful, amazing world. God is good. And all the time. Today I want to take a look at an aspect of God's goodness. We hear from Mark chapter 13 about the prophecy about the end. Jesus is giving them a warning that the end will come suddenly and unexpectedly, and that you are to be ready. And beyond where Peggy read, Jesus says, but about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at the cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. He comes suddenly. He comes immediately. He comes unexpectedly and yet expectedly. Because the Master goes away, we expect Him to return, and He gives us a directive, a order to keep watch. We are the doorkeeper, and our job is to keep watch. Are we asleep? Are you asleep? There are times when I'm preaching and periodically I'll look out the congregation and I'll think to myself, what if I were just to go, wake up! There's a story about a preacher. Wish I knew where I heard this one. He's preaching about heaven and hell. Real fire and brimstone type sermon. Must have been a Baptist. And he goes, he sees one of his deacons out in the congregation just go, and so he goes real quietly, everyone who's going to heaven, stand up. And of course, everybody but the old deacon stands up. He just sits there, And everybody notices. So he then goes, sit down. Now, everyone who's going to hell, stand up! The deacon wakes up just in time to hear stand up and stands up. You know that awful feeling, like, he looks around himself. No one else is standing, looks up at the platform, says, well, preacher, I don't know what you said, but it must be right because you and I are the only two standing. I need to go on cruises more often, don't I? Yeah, I remember where I was. Keep awake! That's what Jesus is telling us to do. Now I said, I guess it was 2 years ago, I was preaching about the meaning of Advent. And I said, we begin Advent, the first two Sundays of Advent, we begin by looking and thinking and recalling and remembering that Jesus said he was coming again. And we begin Advent by getting ready for his second coming. After the first two Sundays of Advent, the second two Sundays of Advent, the third and the fourth Sunday, we begin to remember and give thanks to God and prepare to celebrate again His first coming, His first Advent. So there are two Advents. The first half of Advent, we look towards His second coming. The second half of Advent, we look back towards His first coming. It's an interesting balance we have here in Advent. So here we are beginning Advent, beginning the new church year, this time of preparation for His second coming and to celebrate His first. We begin this time of celebration and preparation by being reminded to keep awake. And if we've dozed off, to wake up and be aware that He is coming. And be aware that He is coming. And be aware that He will come regardless of what it looks like, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of our experience. He is coming. Song says, Santa Claus is coming to town. Jesus Christ is coming to town. Are you ready? He sees you when you're sleeping. And you better believe He knows when you're awake. And you better believe He knows when you've been bad or good. And there's no way you can be good. So have faith in Him. Take a look at 1 Corinthians now. And I saw this morning and I said to Rose, I had no idea. Peggy, I didn't see this. I didn't know that they had the same title for my sermon on the front of the bulletin. Same passage. This passage from 1 Corinthians is amazing. Look where it says down here in verse 8. He will also strengthen. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day of our Lord Jesus Christ is His return. And He will strengthen you. He will uphold you. He will hold you steady. Even though life seems to be tossing you to and fro, even though the ship of your life may be slamming against waves, even though you may be corkscrewing in your life, and you can't seem to stick the metaphorical fork into the chicken because it keeps running all over the table, He is keeping you steady. He is your eternal stabilizer, friends. And He will keep you steady. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Blameless. blameless. Whoops. Blameless. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like I deserve a lot of blame. I look at my life, and I do feel like I'm tossed at sea. And I do feel like the rudder is gone. And I do feel like the engines are down, and the sails have blown away, and the stabilizers have broken off. And I do feel like life has thrown me asunder. And I look at my life, and I look at it, and I say, how can I be blameless? I'm a sinner. I'm a real big sinner. I take a look at my life and I realize how far I fall short of the glory of God. And I realize that if it were not for Jesus Christ, this little baby whom we're getting ready to celebrate his birth, this little baby who grew up to die on a cross for our sins, if it were not for him, in God's presence, I'd be a little wet spot on the ground. Splat. If it were not for him, my life would be tossed at sea. But because of Jesus, and only because of him, even though my life is full of blame, God looks at us and can see nothing but the blamelessness of Jesus. And because he sees Jesus and not our blame, because he sees Jesus and not our blame, we're forgiven. Because he who died on the cross stands between us and the Father, we are forgiven. That deserves an amen. Amen. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes again, the Father will only see Jesus, because he will have strengthened us and held us steady. And I love verse 9. God is faithful. By him, don't anticipate, just participate. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, God is faithful.
All the time.
And all the time.
The
different calling we have in Advent. Yes, God is good, but God is faithful. You're missing your cues. Let's try that again. God is faithful.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is faithful.
Remember that. When we're tossed at sea, when you look at your life and you see nothing but blame, when you look in your life and you see nothing but the tossing of the waves and the blowing of the wind and the insanity of sin, remember, God is faithful.
All the time.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and let God's people say.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2005 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.